Well, take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 127. I had originally planned to preach this message on Father's Day, but I became ill on Saturday and called Pastor Justin, and he preached Psalm 23, and I was told it was so good that I can say that the Lord sovereignly made me sick so that he could preach. And I was very thankful that the Lord wanted this sermon preached today because I did not enjoy the sickness and I didn't want round two. So we're going to be looking at Psalm 127, but we will focus our attention not only on Psalm 127, but also on 128 as they are located right next to each other, but they also share a common subject. Both of these psalms are entitled Psalms of Ascent. These were songs sung by the people of Israel who journeyed up to Jerusalem for the yearly feasts. What would happen is people from far away in Israel would come to these annual feasts, and they would begin to join with each other, to caravan together to Israel by way of safety, by way of fellowship, and they would sing these songs, preparing their hearts and being taught about God as they went to these festivals and feasts, these ceremonies. They would come together and sing these songs. And the psalms that are lumped together in our English Bibles from Psalm 120 through 134 are these songs of ascent, songs that were sung together on their way in caravan to Jerusalem. In these two psalms, we see a common theme of the blessing that comes from a godly family. The term family can arouse in people different emotions. In some, family is a word that brings up feelings of security, brings up feelings of love and warmth and fun and safety. It is a good word. It is a fun word to think about because of their experience, the legacy that their family was to them and the impact that it had on them. But for others, it is a word that immediately stirs up in them feelings of pain, feelings of betrayal, disappointment, regret, and sadness, because their family is not as they had hoped. Either the family that they grew up in or the family that they're experiencing now. Because of sin and its devastating curse on humanity, our families are not as we would hope. God intended family to be good, and he brought it to his creation. He created it for blessing, and the family can be the source of great blessing, great joy. But just as fire can be both good and bad, it can provide light and heat, it can cook for us, but it also burns. We see that in our own state. It can destroy and it can kill. Well, a family can be the source of much pain. Because of the effectiveness of the family, both on the individual and the community, it is one of the primary targets of the evil one, as we can so clearly see in our own culture, in our own society, that's where the attack has been, because he understands how important and vital it is for the well-being of the society. So as these pilgrims were traveling together, as there are parents and children and grandparents and uncles and aunts and friends, and this caravan is growing and growing as it's getting closer and closer to Jerusalem, they would sing and they would be reminded of what God intended for the family and the blessing of that family. No doubt there were individuals and families traveling to Jerusalem, and they were having difficult family situations. Maybe it was an abusive past, or maybe it was a husband and wife that weren't doing well together that day. Maybe it was a widow, or maybe it was a couple who couldn't have children. But they were coming together to be reminded of the blessing of family, to be reminded of what God had intended for the family. And they needed to be taught about the benefits of the godly family and the essential components required for them to receive that blessing and not receive the pain from their family. The family is one of the means of God's blessing. In other words, God intends to bring blessing to his people through the gift of family. Now, there are many blessings that God gives to his people through other means, and the family is not the only way, but it is a way. The Psalms are not saying that having a family is the only way one receives blessing from God, but family is assuredly a way in which he does. It assuredly is a way that he brings blessing to you and to me. The scriptures teach that God loves all of his children and that he blesses all those he calls his own. And while some in this room may be missing some of the elements of family mentioned in these two Psalms, there may be a single individual, a widowed individual, childless individuals, individuals who have lost their parents or their grandparents, and there is grief and sorrow over reality. He does provide for them despite what they lack and what they desire with all their heart. The scripture speaks that God is the father to the fatherless, that he is the husband to the widow, that he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. God, in his relationship to you and I, fulfills that family. We call him Abba, Father, and there is that relationship. But he also provides to us a physical family that may not be a biological family in the church. He gives us a place where we can find spiritual companionship. We can find spiritual parents. We can have spiritual children. The church is that place where God brings to us relationships that are needed so that we can stand firm together. We can minister together. We can be discipled and find examples to follow, and where we can pour our lives into spiritual children. We can find our Timothy within the local church. And in addition to all of that, who God is as a person to us, and what God has given to us in the local church, he is our comforter in our grief. If our experience is different from what we desire and there is pain there, if we wish we had something else, he is a giver of good through the pain. And he will accomplish so much more in what we lack than what we could gain if we had what we wanted. That being said, God has established the family in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 to be a blessing to creation. Pastor Lance, before he went on his sabbatical, began the study of Genesis, and we found out that at the very core of society is the family. The very core of the family is the husband and wife. And it is a gift, it is a blessing to his creation and to those in it. And so those of us that are parents, those of us that are spouses, those of us that are children or grandchildren or grandparents, you are blessed with family. You are blessed with being in a family. And in this psalm, we are reminded of that fact. As we read these two psalms, I want us to focus our attention on two aspects of the blessing. However, before we get into the actual outline, I just want you to see two very small, different kind of focuses. One, Psalm 127, 128. As we read Psalm 127, notice, if you will, that the author focuses on the family as a gift. That this is God's sovereign act. That the blessing of the family is coming from God. And as you read Psalm 128, notice how the author focuses not on only that the blessing comes from God, but that this blessing has something to do with how we act, how we respond, how we live our lives. So there is a blessing element that comes from God that is outside of us, and there is a blessing element within our family that we are responsible for. So as we study these Psalms together this morning, I want us to see three essential components that are present in a family that enjoys this blessing of the Lord. These components include an understanding from where the blessing comes, a recognition of the blessing of family, and a fearing and a following of God. As these different components become more of a reality in our individual families, the more of that blessing that God intends for us will be enjoyed. And conversely, the less they are present, the less it is enjoyed. So let's read what the families of God, would have been singing together as they were annually and at certain points heading up to Jerusalem to worship. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around the table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon the Lord, upon Israel. Let's pray. Lord, may we see the blessing of family. May we recognize from where it comes. May we understand that you bring it to us for our good. And Father, may we learn to live within our homes in a way that honors you and glorifies you. Convict us of specific ways in which these things are not true of our own lives and in our own families. Strengthen us to fulfill these things. And Lord, may we see who you are, even in a text like this. Direct our attention to you. And may we honor you and fear you and respect you and worship you. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. The first essential component that we see in our text is found in the first two verses of Psalm 127. And that is an understanding from where the blessing comes. We receive blessing. Our blessing grows when it comes in the context of our family, when we have an understanding from where the blessing comes. The focus of Psalm 127 is that of God's sovereign working in the lives of his people to bring about blessing. The theme of Psalm 127 is that of God sovereignly working in the lives of his people to bring about this blessing. God is sovereignly at work. God is working. God is accomplishing. God is doing. We see that in the first section of Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Two times in the first verse, we are reminded that God is working. That this building, that this guarding, that this providing is coming from God. It is coming from God. And then three times in the first two verses, he speaks of vanity, of man's effort apart from God's work. Us thinking that in our parenting, in our spousing, in our childrening, without God, there is nothing that is being accomplished. Solomon, who is this psalm's author, identifies three common activities that his readers would have easily understood and have had some experience in as it relates to their effort and what they had put forth in it. He mentions building of a house, building of a business, building of something. Defending by way of his home, by way of his city, by way of his country. And then providing. They all knew about providing, for that was what they did all the time. All three are common activities, common work done by people, but all three find their ultimate success because God is at work in them. And that this is not something that they do on their own. Even if they did it on their own, it would be vanity. We must build. We must guard. We must work with our hands, but ultimately the psalmist is saying we are to be dependent on God to move and to work and to build and to defend and to provide. There's another element in these two verses that I think is important as well, is for us to understand that God is sovereign. That not only is he sovereignly working, but we are building. We are defending. We are providing. And whatever situation we find ourselves in, God is the one that is producing. And so God is not concerned about where we are in our build, in our defense, or in our provision, for he has sovereignly allowed it to be where it is. God knows about our family. He knows about our relationships. He knows about our pain. He knows what we want and what is going on in our families that isn't necessarily according to that desire. The psalmist is saying that God is at work, and apart from the Lord, your efforts and your work, it's vanity. We can water the plant, we can fertilize the plant, we can weed the garden around the plant, but unless God provides the sun and brings the growth, our garden will be empty. And that was Paul's point in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as this church is beginning to identify who they follow. I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul. He said, "What? Why are you doing that? I water, you know, but God is the one who provides the growth." The blessing of the family does not come from us ceasing to build, ceasing to guard or provide. That's not what the psalmist is saying. May it never be. Look at Psalm 128, verse 2. "When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants." He talks about the family as a vine and olive plants that needed to be tended to and nourished. That was work that was being done. The rest of Scripture speaks to our need to work, to be disciplined, to follow the principles of a godly home. But the blessing comes from moving our confidence off of our efforts and onto God. Resting not in what we did or what we didn't do, and not stressing on, did we do everything we needed to do, or was there something in my family that I allowed in that possibly could have ruined where we are? The joy of family, the blessing that God desires us to enjoy through this gift, is removed, it is stolen, it is diminished by our misplaced confidence in our efforts, our part in providing, for teaching, for evangelizing, for protecting. Many of us are so burdened, we are so anxious, and that anxiety comes from the issues of the family because we believe that our family rests on us. Where our family ends up, that's on me. And so I lay my head down on my pillow at night and I go, "Oh no. Have I done enough? Have I said enough? Have I protected my home enough?" There's a belief that God's work is not enough, that his will is not perfect, that his wisdom is not complete. And so I need to plan, I need to work, and I need to rest. And so when I say family, anxiety rises up because, okay, I've got so much to do. I've got to shepherd so many little souls. I have to take care of so many things. And the psalmist is saying, when we understand that all of our work is vanity unless God is working, that he is sovereign in it. Solomon is communicating in this psalm, Psalm 27, and the author in Psalm 128 that we don't know, is that the burden is not entirely on us. Yes, we labor with our hands, but we place our trust and faith in God for the work to be accomplished. We are to stop stressing as if our work is what fixes our family and our work is what is lacking in our family if it's dysfunctional, as if it depends entirely upon us. We are to pursue God and his word. As we do that and sin is brought to the surface, we absolutely are to confess and repent of our sinful actions and our sinful words and our sinful attitudes. We are to build, we are to defend, we are to provide, but then we are to sleep. We're to rest. We're to wait and trust in God to do what he will do, because he will and is working. Look at verse 2 of 127. It says, "In vain you rise, it is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors. For he gives to his beloved even in his sleep." So this guy is getting up before the sun comes up, and he's going to bed after the sun goes down. He is working tirelessly. And then he says, when you fall asleep, then God does the work. The author of Psalm 128 ends the psalm with a prayer. You can see that in verse 5 and 6. And he ends it with the very application of this understanding. May the Lord bless you. May you see prosperity. May you see your children's children. He turns to the one from whom the blessing comes, and he asks for blessing. He doesn't seek to go out and do more work. There's no more effort. What's needed is more dependence. A family that is experiencing blessing is one that realizes that God brings that blessing and they are dependent on him for it. So do we believe that our God will do what is best for our family? Do we believe that he is sovereign? Do we believe that we are where we are because God wanted us here? Do we trust in him for that? And do we look to him for the direction and means of accomplishing that blessing? We can only work in a state of rest. We can only obey him while we look to him and leave the results in his hands when we understand and believe in his sovereignty. Believe that he is working over everything, and that includes my little tribe, my little family. We see the second component in the rest of Psalm 127 and the middle part of Psalm 128, and that is, for blessing to be experienced, there needs to be a recognition of the blessing of family. We need to understand and recognize that this is a gift, that God has given us this wonderful gift, and it is in the dysfunctional family that you and I live in. As we've already mentioned, there is a responsibility to fulfill in your family life. There are requirements. There are tasks. There are burdens that we endure as we live in a family. Husbands have a role to fill. Wives have a role to fill. Parents are to evangelize and disciple and train and care for their children. Children have the most difficult of it to honor and obey their parents. There is much communication and patience and forgiveness required to fulfill the principles laid out in Scripture for us to enjoy our families. And so there is burden to this blessing. It's the burden of planting and then tending and nourishing and then eventually eating the produce. There's a burden that comes with the blessing, and that's the case with the family. But oftentimes, many times, too frequently of times, our thoughts and our minds turn to the burden. Meditate on the burden, the difficulty, the hardship, rather than the blessing. We look at the difficulty of what this family has caused me, rather than the fruit that this family has produced. What we dwell on is how we view these things. So family becomes something that doesn't invoke thoughts of appreciation and gratitude, but instead angst, discontentedness, frustration, always wishing for something different, always waiting for our children to grow out of a particular stage, always frustrated by the reality that is different from the expectation. It's interesting when you do premarital counseling and then set up counseling 6 months later and say, what was different than what you expected? That's a fun question, and it's a fun answer. Sometimes the difference is it was really, really better than I thought, and other times, he's not Prince Charming. I told you, but they don't listen. But what we see from this text is the continual declaration of the blessing of family. Words for blessing, and we mentioned these already, are words like gift and reward and blessed and happy and fruitful and prosperity. Think of these things when you think of family. Think of these things when you think of your family. Now, remember the context of the Songs of Ascent, because I really think it's important. These are folks who are heading to worship. They're not there yet. I'm going to say that again, and if you have young children in the minivan, I'm going to say it again. They are individuals heading to worship, but they're not there yet. Then maybe you've never been in my minivan, driving to church. The passy falls out. The Barney video is on repeat somehow, and he continues to sing the same song. Johnny touched Sally, and Sally touched Johnny, and you and your wife are looking at each other saying, "Why did we do this?" This is not a blessing at the moment. So this is what's happening. They're traveling. They're bringing their supplies from a distance, and they're coming to worship. And it is at that time that they are reminding themselves of the blessing of family. They are reminding themselves and declaring to each other and to their children that they are not a burden at all, but they are a blessing. That they are an inheritance. In Solomon's day, grown children normally cared for their parents in their old age. They would defend them as the parents became increasingly dependent and vulnerable. They would provide for them financially. When Sharon and I were having kids, we would make a list. And the list would be names. Sharon would have a list. I would have a list. We would exchange those lists. I would cross out any names I didn't like. It was that one point of just, I got this. And she would tear my list in half. One of the names on my list for my son was Ira. I thought it was totally appropriate. Individual retirement account. His name is not Ira. His name is Braden. For different reasons. However, in this context, and in the mind of Solomon, as he's writing verses 4 and 5 in Psalm 127, he is describing the blessing and inheritance that children are to older parents, as they function as a defense for the parents from exterior and interior enemies and foes. Arrows are things that defend against attacking invaders. And when your quiver is full, then you're blessed because you're defended, you're taken care of. It is good. They were to be a gift. And that is what they were declaring to one another, to each other, to their children. Now, they're a gift, obviously, when they are obedient and fulfill their roles as adult children. But they are also a gift, and we have to remember this, they are a gift when it is not so obvious. When our children are wayward, when our children have rejected Christ, when there is sickness in our home and that sickness has impacted our children, or they are experiencing some sort of difficulty, because in that moment they function as a tool of God to draw us to Him, to cause us to be dependent on Him. There is no greater dependency than a parent whose child is wayward. For a parent whose child is sick, whose child is going through some difficulty, far more than your own, a parent realizes that and comes to the Lord and asks Him for His help. Psalm 128, verse 3, we have this picture of a happy family where dad and mom and children are around the table. It's a blessing, a vine which produces fruit, and olive plants that produce fruit, and they're all sitting together in this one happy family. It is good, it is right, it is pleasure. But much pain and unhappiness in the home is caused by our lack of focusing on the gift while focusing on the difficulty. Focusing on the burden, focusing on the planting and the tilling and the weeding and the nourishment and the watering, and not focusing on the end result. We complain about the particular stage our children are in. or what relationship situation we're in, instead of thanking God for the blessing that that stage provides. I'll give you the example of newborn stage. The newborn stage. The newborn stage is a dreadful stage unless you view it correctly. These children have no neck control. They're just all over the place. They cry for no apparent reason. You ask them, they don't respond. You change them, it doesn't help. You feed them, it doesn't help. You burp them, it doesn't help. The diapers, oh, so many diapers. The sleepless nights. Now, if we focus on this and say, hey, I'm going to give you this gift, and the gift is that for 3 months, you're like, oh, thank you. But when you view it differently, and you hold that baby, and you know the softness of their little head, Harmony, the softness of little Charlie's head, and the smell that they have, and the cooing, and the potential of what life will be, and their utter dependence on you, oh my goodness, what an amazing blessing. And I'm assuming that's the only reason moms go through labor again, is because of that thought. It's this thought of the blessing of the family. And it is such an important element of viewing this as a gift. And it's important to note that this was a song that was sung by all who came to worship. And there's a lesson here for us as parents to be vigilant to not only remind ourselves of the fact that our children are a gift, that our family is a gift, but to share that with the children that God has blessed us with. You don't have to turn there, but in Ephesians chapter 6, there's a short little commandment to parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Can I suggest to you that one of the ways that we provoke our children to anger is that we do not tell them enough that they're a gift? That the more time we spend, or if you balanced out the time, that it would be on discipline, it would be on correction, it would be on frustration, it would be on you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do those other things. And I'm not saying not to do those. But this was a song that was to be sung by all. And I think for us as parents, our children need to hear that God gifted us in them, that He blessed us with them, that they are to us a blessing from the Lord. It is an essential component to our experienced blessing and to the experienced blessing of our children for them to know that they're a blessing. So, take your child, rush him through a time machine 28 years. Have your child then look back at his first 28 years, and is his home a blessing? Did he feel like he was a blessing to his parents or a burden? And I think part of them experiencing the blessing and part of them realizing that that home was a great place was the parents being faithful to let them know how important they were. So we've seen that there is an understanding from where the blessing comes, a recognition of the blessing of family, and thirdly, a blessing comes from fearing and following God. As we turn our attention to Psalm 128, we see this principle clearly communicated in verse 1 and then partially repeated in verse 4. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Verse 4, behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The author of this psalm clearly and concisely states that fearing the Lord and following in His ways is the recipe for blessing. Fearing the Lord is having that respect and reverence of God stemming from what we know of Him. That He is our Creator. That He is holy and without sin. That He is just and righteous. that he is wise, that he is powerful, that he's loving. It's what we talked about when we studied Psalm 19, that this word gives us the testimony of the Lord. We learn about him. And it is the response of our heart and the response of our lives in worship and awe and reverence to him. And he says, blessing comes when you respect and worship and honor and fear the Lord. But that fear, that worship of God, will lead to not only understanding that and having that reverential awe, but it will lead to following him or walking in his ways. As one comes to recognize God's authority and wisdom and power, one will place their lives in submission to him and his statutes. Life will be set according to him and his ways. And maybe that's a different way of saying it. Blessing comes when we set our life according to him and his ways. These two things go hand in hand. Blessing does not come or is diminished when one of these two are missing. And we often mislead ourselves into thinking that we can do one without the other, or we think we're doing one without the other. There are many homes represented here where we worship him, we know about him, and yet it does not change our lives. It doesn't change the morality in the home. It doesn't change our pursuits. We go to church, we sing songs of praise, we make sure our children are in Awana, we might even have a family devotions, but we don't communicate biblically. We don't argue biblically. We don't resolve conflict biblically. We engage in ungodly pursuits, and we are entertained with things that God hates. This is not following in his ways. We think we're fearing him because we have an understanding of him, but that fear is seen in our lives. Blessing is diminished and not home. But conversely, much blessing is lost in our seeking holiness. Seeking morality and righteousness without it being centered on the person of Jesus Christ. Our children don't smoke, they don't dance, they don't chew, and they don't hang out with kids who do. But their lifestyle has no connection to Jesus Christ. They don't understand that what happens on Monday through Saturday is connected essentially to what happens on Sunday. Because it's about right or wrong, it's not about worship. It's not about gratitude. It's not about the gospel. It's just about we act a certain way. It's like families that are more concerned, and I say I'm probably here and have been there times, with what do my children look like in front of you rather than what does my child's heart look like? Understanding who God is necessitates that one changes their life to live in accordance with that knowledge. And the lifestyle and the person are connected, and they cannot be separated. Or we are not fearing God. We are not loving God. We are not worshiping God. And so to fear and follow God in a family is to hold him in high regard. It is to pursue him in the scriptures. It is to worship him. It is to follow biblical principles in the home. It is talking biblically, resolving conflict biblically, spending money biblically, spending time biblically, fulfilling biblical roles. And in this we are blessed. And without it, our blessing is diminished. God covenanted with the people of Israel and established blessing for obedience and curses for disobedience. And we see that in Deuteronomy. But we also see it in our lives as we live in right relationship to him through fear and following. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." How are we getting in his presence? How are we living in his right hand? We are by fearing and following in his ways. So there is this joy, there is this pleasure that comes when we are in relationship through fear and following. But we also see the opposite. Proverbs 13:15, "The way of the transgressor is hard." Since God is the creator of all humanity, and since he is the creator of the family, he has a unique perspective on how things will function best. And when we don't do what the creator does, tells us what he expects of us, why would we think anything else for it not to work? Again, much joy and pleasure is lost in the home because we have forgotten God. And we have removed him from the center of our family, and we've removed this book from the center of our family. The psalmist concludes this prayer, or this psalm, with a prayer. The prayer is a request of God, asking him to allow them to see Jerusalem prosper all of their days. The prosperity of a city would extend to every family in the nation ultimately. As the city, as the nation is blessed, so are the people. But conversely, as each family is blessed, so will the city and the country. Seeing one's grandchildren also expresses God's continual blessing for many years. And he ends with this dependency again upon the one who sovereignly is at work. Family. What does it stir up in your mind? What does it stir up in your heart? If it is a place of warmth and security and fun, well then, praise God. Thank the Lord that he sovereignly placed you in that home. That home that taught you Christ. That home that exemplified Christ in what it looks like to live life. But when you think family and there is pain, rest in his sovereignty. Rest that is the family that God intended for you for your good, because he works all things together for your good. Fear him and follow in his ways. Remember that God uses all things to work together for good. And that is even the dysfunction that is in your own family. Let's pray. Father, thank you for, again, the family. Thank you for my family. Thank you for what you have, how you have placed them in my life for my growth. I ask that you would help us, Lord, to see your hand at work in our families, that we would trust in you, that we would work and rest. Work and rest. Lord, help us to remember that family is a blessing, that you have given it to us for our good, to help, sometimes to humble. And Lord, help us to fear you, to know you, to respect you, to worship you, and then to follow you all of our days. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.